Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career, so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
Hello, everybody. My name is Gino Barbaro, host of the 100 Year Real Estate Investor Show, the show dedicated to personal financial engineering. Today's guest, we want to welcome back Kristen Kolka. She is a 100 year team member who specializes in the dual asset strategy and helping her clients maximize the value of their dollar. Today, she is here to discuss leveraging whole life policies to pay for college and tell the story of how she used this very concept with her own daughter, Noelle. Welcome back, Kristen. How are you?
Hi, Gino. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back on.
Listen, let's jump right in because this is such a misunderstood topic. And I'm glad you're sharing this personal story. Wow. I remember those days, Kristen. You remember those days? Those were wonderful days, weren't they?
Yes. Yes, they were. Yeah. That's a picture of me with my baby girl almost 21 years ago. It's crazy to think about.
And did you think when she was born, I'm going to use whole life to save for her college? Most of us out there, myself included, I was really overwhelmed, Chris. And I'll share a quick story for myself. I kept having children. You know, I have six kids. And the first thing that everyone would always say to me is, hey, how are you going to pay for college? And how are you going to save for retirement? And how are you going to save for all these weddings? And I really didn't have a great answer for it. I said, I'm going to use a 401k. I'm going to use 529s. And hopefully that'll pay off. And fortunately, right. I used none of those vehicles. I actually started using them, but then I actually pivoted out, went into whole life, and you know, for the most part, starting buying the real estate and using multifamily to, you know, really save to buy those assets. And those assets are now paying for the events. One child is already through college, the second one is a junior in college. And I think that's the whole idea. We're trying to create assets to pay for these events instead of just saving money, that scarcity mindset. So, you know, take it away here, Kristen. Let us deconstruct some of these myths that we've been taught about saving for these really important events in our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And so just to kind of start by giving a little bit of my background, a lot of people don't know, I actually became a mom when I was 16 years old. So I was very young when I had my daughter, and she's my only child. I raised her as a single parent. And so right from the start, you know, trying to plan for our life financially was a challenge. I was young, you know, I was trying to work. I was trying to go to school and actually finish my own college degree. And when I did graduate from college, I graduated with my finance degree and $50,000 of debt. So, you know, imagine being a young single mom starting her career with a lot of debt and thinking about her own daughter and how, you know, I would want my own daughter to start her adult life. And I didn't want her to have to start off her life on the same path, you know, starting her adult life, her career with a lot of debt kind of hanging over her head. So that's when I really started thinking about, well, what can I do to start planning ahead for her future? And so, you know, there's a couple of different options that every parent thinks about when it comes to planning ahead for their kids' college. And you hit on quite a few of those, right? Mm-hmm. Most people know about the 529. There's also some states that offer prepaid tuition plans, a savings account, an UTMA or UGMA account, an investment account. So I did think about all of these and considered them for my daughter. But at that time, I had just started working with cash value whole life insurance, and I was starting to understand that strategy. And so that's when I really started digging into that deeper to figure out if that would be a better option for us.
Mm-hmm. Can I jump into the 529 real quick? For me, Kristen, I don't like any plans that have to deal with the government, because the government very easily can change. They can change the rules on you, and they've done it forever. And I always think, why does the government want me to use these types of plans? What's our ulterior motive? I don't like putting money in the stock market, because let's say I start putting money in today and my daughter or my son needs to go to college 3 years from now, and I need to start taking money out of that plan in 3 years. Well, let's say we're in a recession or a depression and I lost 50% of the value in that 529 plan or those mutual funds, then I'm really much stuck. I'm not trying to time the market. I don't think we have to have every single dollar at risk. That's what we've been brainwashed into thinking. And for me, that's one of the things that I thought of, those up and down roller coaster of the market. Now, listen, if you time it right, man, it is awesome. But are you going to bet your child's future? Are you going to bet the $50,000 of student debt that Kristen had on hoping the stock market continues to go up and stabilizes when you need the money? I think the prepaid tuition is another good plan, but depending on if your child, when they're born, how do you know they're going to go to college? Let's say they don't go to college and you fund their prepaid tuition. I don't know about that one. So the third one, the savings account. Well, we all know what the savings account is. It's 0.5%, and you're really having the bank leverage your money. So that's just really a savings tank that I like to call utilize to buy my assets. That's the only thing with the bank, is to use liquidity. Now, investment accounts, they're great as well, but timing the market, going in and out, you don't have that stability. How did you get into the cash value life insurance? How did you get into the whole life space?
Yeah, well, you know, like you were saying, taking a look at each of these options here, there is definitely a lot of advantages and disadvantages to each one. And I started weighing each one out and thinking about what I wanted for my daughter for the future. And I wanted her to have options. I think that was the biggest thing. I wanted to make sure that we were set up in such a way that she had the option to pursue the career path that she wanted to pursue, that I was able to help her out financially in some way. And also, a thing that was really important to me was not to have that money locked up, right? From the time I started saving for her college to the time that she actually went to college, there were quite a few events that happened where I needed access to cash, you know? So it was very important to me to have that liquidity as well.
Before you go to the next slide, I really want to reiterate that point. There's lost opportunity cost. If you have money put into a 529 plan or a 401k plan or a prepaid tuition, that money's pretty much locked up in there. If you need to take it out, you're going to get penalized for it. So for me, having these whole life policies, these assets, I'm able to borrow that money out and utilize it for whatever I need it for. Now, if you're a business owner and you're short, and you need to make payroll, or you need to buy some equipment, or you need to buy a car, you can utilize the funds there, borrow it out. And then when you're ready, you're able to pay it back at your own, you know, time frame. And for me, the COVID and these last 2 years have really shown to have liquidity and to have those options and that opportunity cost is so crucial. And it's something that really can't be understated. So thanks for sharing that with us. That's a really, really important point there.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's several reasons why we ended up choosing cash value life insurance for her college savings. Number one is that it's a sheltered asset when it comes to her qualifying for any kind of financial aid when it comes to college. And a lot of people don't realize this, but when your kids get to their senior year of high school, in October, you have to fill out something that's called the FAFSA. It's an application for financial aid. And whether or not you think you're going to qualify for financial aid from an income-based perspective, you still need to fill out this application because it allows the federal government and also the schools to make you offers in terms of loans, grants, scholarships, anything that's available to help parents and students pay for college tuition. Inside this application, it's going to ask you about all kinds of different things, including your income and your assets. And of course, as a parent, since your student is still a dependent on you, it's all based on your financial situation. There's a lot of different assets in there that the colleges will look at and say, hey, parent, you have this savings account, or you have this 529 account, or you have this investment account in your kid's name. And that's money that you diligently saved for college. So we don't need to help you out, right? Because you already have that covered. So one of the most important things about the cash value life insurance is that I was able to set some money aside for my daughter, Noelle, for college, and know that it wouldn't be counted against her and me when it came to her qualifying for any kind of financial aid in the future.
That is huge. You're getting penalized for being irresponsible. And most of us don't even know that. I think this I'm seeing that you put it up on the top for the very first one. And to me, that's probably why it's there, because it is probably the one that people least understand and one that is really a huge benefit to you. You're saving money in these plans. The government looks at it and goes, oh, well, you don't really qualify because you're responsible and you saved money. So sheltered asset, number one, that is excellent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And really, the freedom and control over that money that I was saving. I'm a bit of a control freak when it comes to my money. I don't like having money locked up. I've never used a 401k. I want to make sure that I can use my money for whatever I want to use it for, whenever I want to use it for. I don't want the government to restrict when and how I use that money. With a lot of these accounts, especially the 529 and the prepaid tuition accounts, they're very restrictive in terms of what you can use that money for. Even when it comes to actually using it for education expenses, there's certain qualified expenses that you need to use the money for. Otherwise, you're penalized and taxed on those withdrawals. So that was a big thing for me as well, was making sure that I had the freedom and control to use this money for my daughter in the way that she and I both saw fit when she became an adult and college aged.
Love that. And the next one is liquidity. And talk about the ability to use the dollars multiple times. I think that's really important as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I kind of touched on this in the last slide, but liquidity was a big deal for me. I wanted to make sure, again, that the money was not locked up, that if I did need to access it for, let's say, an opportunity or an emergency, that I had the ability to access those dollars. Also, as a single mom, you know, starting off in my career, I didn't have a whole lot of discretionary income, right? And so I wanted to make sure, again, that I could use that money if I needed it, that it wasn't locked up somewhere where, you know, I would be in dire straits and have this cash over here that I had absolutely no access to. So when you have your cash inside a whole life insurance policy, you can borrow against that money at any time for any reason. And if you borrow that money from your policy, you continue to earn the same interest and dividends on that money as if you never touched it. So I knew that if I had to borrow against this policy and use it for something between the time that I started saving and the time my daughter went to college, that I could pay that money back and not interrupt the growth of the funds that we had, you know, set aside for her college.
Mm-hmm. Before we move on to the next slide, I wanted to share a story myself personally about starting whole life insurance. This is a long time ago. This is early 2000s. I was putting money heavily into a 401k and I'm working at the restaurant. I'm thinking, this is how I'm going to save money. I'm going to get tax deferred. And I challenge everybody out there. Do you want to pay taxes on the seed where you're planting it? Or do you want to pay taxes when you have the harvest? Now stop and think for a second. You don't know where taxes are going to go in the future. You know what taxes you're paying today. I would venture to say that taxes are going to be a lot higher in the future. So I'd rather pay taxes on the seed money today. So I realized, and I was fortunate enough to meet a financial planner that said, hey, stop doing what you're doing, start using whole life insurance and start funding a whole life insurance policy. Now, this was dual purpose for me. I was actually starting to set up my estate. There was a death benefit attached with the whole life. I wasn't renting term, I was buying whole. And if I hadn't done that, I may not have met Jake in 2009 and going into real estate, because what I had done for 5 or 6 years is I was funding this life insurance policy and I had access to the funds today. If I was 401k heavy, I would not have been able to touch those funds to go out and start my real estate career. I ended up buying a couple of duplexes back in 2008 up in Rochester. I borrowed money from the policy, bought those assets with money from the policy. So when we talk about opportunity costs, we just can't pass over that, because there's so many different ways that we're able to utilize that money. Now we're talking about, you know, college. If your kids are going to college, you pay for their college. For me, it was actually starting another business and investing in real estate. So I was thankful that I met somebody back in the early 2000s, told me, hey, you're not doing it the way most wealthy people are doing it. This is what they are doing. And I was just fortunate to meet them and actually change that whole course and that trajectory of my life by actually utilizing whole life to be able to get into real estate. We call it the dual asset strategy. At the 100-year, you're leveraging your whole life policy to buy another asset. And when you pay that asset back, you pay the cash value back, you're left with two assets. So the beautiful thing about this, Kristen, we should mention, when you're borrowing money from the whole life policy, you're borrowing it and you're funding your daughter's college or you're doing whatever. When you pay that loan back, you still have the asset. You have the asset of your child that went to college. She has experience, education, and you still have that asset of whole life that's continuing to produce guaranteed dividends and continue to have that death benefit that's locked in forever. So it's really a mindset shift of, am I buying something or am I renting? And I think what we're talking about is really buying something for the long term.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. That's a great point. You know, you're not dipping into your kids' college account and just, you know, using the money for whatever purpose you see fit. You're helping that account grow, continue to grow, right? You're not missing out on those opportunities. You're helping that account continue to grow.
Yep.
So I'll talk a little bit about what actually happened. And for those of you that are viewing the actual video, here's a picture of my daughter and I at her college graduation. I'm sorry, her high school graduation. She hasn't graduated from college just yet. But right smack dab in the middle of COVID, she graduated in 2020. So that was a very interesting high school graduation.
At least you guys didn't have masks on. At least the picture looks great. And to say that from a little peanut in that first slide to a young woman, it's amazing, isn't it? That's just an amazing thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So a little bit about my daughter. Throughout high school, she was a very high achiever. And she consistently had GPAs of over 4.0. She was involved in a lot of leadership activities in her school. And she really did perform very well. And so when it came to applying for colleges, she had her heart set on going to Texas State University, which is right outside of Austin, Texas in San Marcos. She, you know, has a love for dance and her career path is becoming a dance instructor. And so she targeted that school because they have a great program where she can do both her teaching certificate and her fine arts degree. So she applied for Texas State University, and we were very blessed with a very generous financial aid package. And this financial aid package was awarded to her because of her high performance in high school. So something that we had not really planned on, but was definitely a blessing, was that she had all enough financial aid to pay for college without any assistance from mom.
Mom won. Check that box. That is awesome. Congratulations.
Exactly. Exactly. So that kind of plays into this story though, because going back to the 529, her grandparents actually started a 529 for her when she was an infant. And so she had about $18,000 sitting in a 529 where now we're like, well, what do we do with this money? You know, her college is paid for. She's getting a couple thousand dollars back each semester just to go to school. So the challenge for the past 2 years has been trying to find creative ways to spend that 529 money without incurring the taxes and penalties, right?
Yes. Yes. And let me just stop and say, I'm not bashing the 529 plan or any plan. At least people are out there. They're being proactive and they're saving. That's the important. That's the important thing. But we're trying to teach people more efficient ways to save. And that's what the whole is. Now you have that money sitting in a 529 plan. You were taught that's the right thing to do. The government wants you to put money into a 529 plan to fund mutual funds, to fund the growth of Wall Street. That's the reality of what's going on since the 1970s. 401k plans, the same thing. But now you have money sitting there. And this is not just a one-off. I'm sure there's so many parents out there. Their kids may not even decide to go to college when they're 18 years old. They may go to a trade school. You have all this money sitting in there. What do you do then? I mean, wouldn't it have been awesome if they'd started 15 years earlier, funding a plan, getting a death benefit for their child and being able to save that way? And then guess what? When their child turns 21 or 25, you're still the beneficiary. What an amazing gift that is to give to them, because I'm funding policies for all six of my kids. And for me, it's more of a mindset. I'm just saving money for them. And when, you know, after 10 years, I've done a 10-year plan. After 10 years, I'm just going to say to them, here you go. utilize it for whatever you want to utilize it for. You want to buy a car, you want to buy a home, you want to continue to finish paying for college, whatever that looks like. And that's what we're really discussing here, the options. I think someone once said, maybe it's Teresa Kuhn, the options, the quality of your life is dependent upon the options that you have in your life. And that's what we're trying to discuss here. The optionality that you had now, you don't have to worry about trying to figure out how to spend money for 529. You have it here. You already set yourself up with a great plan and a great strategy here.
Right. And that's really what I'm excited about at this point in her life is she's about to go into her junior year of college. We're about 2 years away from her graduating. And, you know, we have this cash that's still sitting there that we can use if we need it. She hasn't had a need for it just yet. But perhaps after she graduates, we use the money to open a dance studio for her. Or, you know, she has money for a down payment for her first home. You know, anything we want to use to bless her and her adult life with this money, we now have the option to do that. And I think that's really going to add to the quality of her life, especially starting off as an adult.
Here's a thought. What about taking a couple months off and traveling? She has that optionality because she doesn't have $50,000 in student debt. She doesn't have to go get a job. She may take a little gap year where it takes off a month and says, hey, let me go in other cities. Let me go take a look at other dance schools. Let me see how other people are doing it. And that optionality is just, it's just priceless when you're able to create life on your own terms and not worry about the debt monster, because that $50,000 looming over you, it really gives you less options. You need to go back to work and pay that debt off, or else that's just going to continue to snowball.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And you really hit it, Gino, with the options. You know, this is really what we're talking about is when it comes to planning for the financial future, no one has a crystal ball. No one knows what's going to happen, especially with kids. You know, what direction are they going to take? Are they going to go on that college path, or are they going to go on an alternative path? You know, Teresa Kuhn, you mentioned her. Her son became an entrepreneur. He opened his own business. So the money that they had saved for his college went into starting that business. Mm-hmm. It's about, you know, making sure that the cash that you have set aside for these things, that they're not restricted, that they're not locked up, so that you do have the ability to access it the way that you best see fit. Mm-hmm. And really examining all the tools that you have available for that financial planning and choose the one that really fits best into your objectives for that money.
Kristen, we didn't even touch upon all of the other benefits with Whole Life. This show is strictly dedicated to saving for college. If you want to find out more, go to the Jake and Gino channel. Go to look at all the 100-year shows that we have dedicated to the dual asset strategy, to funding for your estate taxes, buy-sell agreements, key man. There's so many different options and ways you can utilize Whole Life. What I'd like all the listeners to do, just go to 100year.com. Go on the website, take a look at all the information, take a look at all the podcasts and all the resources we have. And when you're ready, just schedule a call with one of our team members. Kristen's there to help you out, to walk you through, because I know there's a lot of questions and a lot of concerns and a lot of things that people have heard about Whole Life. And I'm just there to tell you, just get an honest, open opinion and see how it fits your life, whether you're working for it for the next 5 to 10 years, or your children's going to college, or you're trying to fund your estate tax planning. It's such a pivotal asset and part of really how to personal financial engineer your life. So go to 100year.com, schedule a call with one of our team members. And any final words, Kristen?
No. My final word is options.
I love it. Thanks, everyone, for spending a few minutes with us today. And once again, go to 100year.com and have a great day, everyone. Thanks.
Thank you.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.